The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we have seen in our study of Nehemiah, chapter 9 begins with the people of God continuing to worship God even after the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Israelites who returned from the captivity were hungry for the Word of God, and the leaders, including Nehemiah and Ezra, gave it to them. Chapter 9 details a public worship service wherein the leaders of the people prayed to God in what is basically a long and detailed sermon. It traces the history of Israel and emphasizes how great God is and how lowly man is. Join us today as we find the Jews in Jerusalem praising God for His greatness.
Come the fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by quaking tongues above.
Begin me up and down.
Tonight we want to go back to the book of Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, where we left off last time. We're going to read the first 6 verses. We dealt with the first 3 the last time I stood before you on a Sunday night. And so we'll go to the last 3 verses of this particular passage tonight. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 1, we read, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani and Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Hanani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Habniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee.'" Now we want to stop there because we're getting now into this prayer that takes up most of the rest of this book, or this chapter rather. And this prayer is a great prayer of praise to God. It is a prayer in one sense. It is a statement of praise in another. I don't know exactly what category to put it in, but I can tell you that it lifts up the name of God greatly. And remember that these things that happen in the Old Testament days were our examples. We've already seen examples in chapter 8 of preaching. It's very much, it's different. It was different in that day in the sense of how we worship today. But what they were doing, they were reading in the book of God's word distinctly, and they were giving the sense of it, and they were causing the people to understand it better, and that's what we're supposed to be doing today. I'm not up here to tell funny stories. We may laugh every once in a while, and there may be a good story that makes a point every once in a while, but if all my ministry and all my preaching is little stories that teach some moral lesson maybe, but otherwise doesn't go to the word of God, then I'm not preaching. There is no preaching. As some of you and I have talked before, that's fluff. That's just fluff. That's not meat and potatoes. The meat of the Word of God is where we're supposed to be going. And that's what they did. They went to the meat of the Word of God here. These were our examples. And last time we saw that the Word of God had brought conviction, and it brought them not only to be convicted of their sins and to confess those sins, but to separate from the things of the world. And they did that down through verse 3. And tonight, we're going to see, as we have already read in these verses 4, 5, and 6, how they began to proclaim the preeminence of God as they praised Him. And you know, any praise of God has to begin at His preeminence. We have to understand what a great God He is. He is the only God. There is none beside Him. We're going to talk about that. And we need to understand some things about God. So you say, well, I just like to worship Him. I don't like to get into doctrine. I just like to have a word. And you see sometimes these worship and praise and worship bands and praise and worship services. And listen, every service ought to be a praise and worship service, okay? I think we had praise and worship this morning, okay? But you know what God said, Jesus Himself said about worship? Over in John chapter 4, when He's talking to this woman at the well, this Samaritan who's saying, well, y'all say we have to worship here. You know, we say you worship there. And He said, God is a spirit, verse 24. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, notice what He didn't say. Jesus didn't say, you just got to be sincere. I've heard Brother Buddy talk about this before. As long as you're sincere, it's okay. That's what most people say. Well, listen, what if I sincerely believe that Brother Buddy is a thief? You know, I sincerely believe that. Is it okay then for me to tell everybody that? I just believe Brother Buddy Abernathy is a thief, you know? Brother Buddy's not going to be too happy about that, is he? He's not going to come up to me and say, well, as long as you sincerely believe it, it's okay, you know? No, he's probably going to get a lawyer and file a lawsuit against me to correct the record. Listen, God wants the record corrected when it comes to himself. He wants us to worship in spirit, and certainly we have to have the Spirit of God before we can worship in the first place. We have to be born of the Spirit, and then we need God's Spirit in our worship services, but he also wants us to worship him in truth. God wants us to know about him, and true worship is always inextricably linked to hearing and obeying his word. The word of God reveals the God of the word. That's something we need to remember. The Word of God reveals the God of the Word. The God who gave us this Word, he gave it to us that he might reveal himself to us. Now, I get it, and you know I believe this, and I know you understand this. We'll never plumb the depths of God's greatness. We'll never understand all there is to know about God. His ways are so high above our ways as the heavens are higher than the earth. His ways are past finding out, but he's given us some insights. That's no excuse for us not to search the scriptures and try to find out more and more about him, you see. So any worship service that ignores the word of God that teaches us about God himself is not a true worship service before God. So let's see what they thought about God. Here we're told in verse 4, they cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. And this is what they said in verse 5, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Notice here that he is the preeminent God. And that doesn't mean there are other gods out there. Men make up gods in their minds with a little g. But he is the preeminent God of all gods. Any God you could make up in your mind, any God that may be taught in the pulpits or anywhere else in the other denominations or even other religions of the world, Islam or Confucianism or Hinduism or whatever it may be, he is the preeminent God. His name is above every name. They said, stand up and bless the Lord your God. Now let me just say something here about that before we go any further. When we bless him, when it says for us to bless God, we're not adding to his greatness. It's not blessing him like he blesses us. What it is that we are praising him for his greatness, and we don't magnify that greatness in any way. We don't add one bit to it, but we recognize it ourselves, and in our worship, that's what we should be thinking about every time we come to the table, every time we come to the church, every time we come to any part of any worship service, we should be thinking about the greatness of God. And we ought to praise him with a loud voice. That doesn't mean we have to shout. That means audible, okay? Sometimes I get loud, I know that, but not every preacher's loud like me. My wife loves me and she loves my preaching, but she loves quiet preaching better. I know that about her. But so I'm just kidding. She's going to get on to me for saying that when I get out of the pulpit. But anyway, it makes for a good statement of you, right? But seriously, there are different styles of preaching, and just getting loud doesn't mean you got the Spirit. Sometimes I get loud and I feel like most of the time it's when I've got the Spirit. But be that as it may, he's talking about here just speaking out in praise of him. You know, he doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our magnification. Jesus told some Pharisees over there one time that if these were to keep silent, the rocks would cry out. The rocks could praise him. The rock is a dead, inanimate thing, and yet in God's greatness, the rocks could praise him. Now, I will say it that it's to our shame if we have to leave it to the rocks to praise him. That's the whole point. It would be shameful if we didn't open our mouths and didn't praise him and we left it to the rocks and the trees and those kinds of things to praise him. We ought to praise him, you see, because his name is above every name. Listen to this over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. And this is talking about Jesus here, who is also very God. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that is Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Did you know it's glory to God when we confess that Jesus is God? It's glory to God. We're told in one place he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know why? Because he is God. You see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are each God in and of themselves, and they are one, okay? And Jesus Christ has a name that is above every name. You know, over in the book of Revelation, when he comes riding in on the white horse, it said he has a name. It says, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There are kings of this world, there are lords of this world, but he is Lord of all. He is the preeminent God. His name, it says, blessed be thy glorious name, here in verse 5, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You know what that tells me? That tells me there's no way we can ever praise him enough. There's no way that with our mouths, our feeble attempts, we can ever bless him enough. He is exalted. His name is exalted above all blessing and praise. He is the preeminent God. And look at verse 6. He is the only God. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. In order to worship God properly, we must know about him and his nature and the fact that he is the only God. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find what they call the Shema. That is the admonition to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee each this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Sounds like that what he's just told us is very important. This is the most important thing you can put there on the gates of your house, so to speak. Now, that doesn't mean you have to always have it written there in a literal sense, but beloved, that means that it ought to be emanating from your home. The idea that God is the Lord, there is no God but God. He is the one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and he's the one that we shall love with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. You know, sometimes we come across people. You know, I run into somebody not too long ago where I said, you know, that person reminds me of so-and-so. That person kind of looks like so-and-so. Somebody I know, we run into somebody or we see somebody on TV, say, well, he looks like this person or that person. Well, I want to tell you, you can't say that about God. Over in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 5, he says, to whom will you liken me? And make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like. Beloved, if we were to try to do that about God, it would go something like this. Somebody say, well, describe to me about God. Describe God to me. Well, let's see. He's kind of like, he's not like that one. Well, maybe he's like this. No, he's not like this one. I just can't compare him to anything, you see. That's even if we tried, we couldn't compare him to anything. He said, there is no one that he's equal to. There's no one you can compare him to. There's no one that he is like. And if you skip on down a little bit further in there, in verse 9, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You know what I think about when I read that, Brother Buddy, more than anything else? It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Beloved, when he came to the time for his son to go to the cross, his pleasure was fulfilled. It pleased him. That doesn't mean in some sadistic way. That's not what I'm talking about. But it pleased the justice of God. It fulfilled the justice of God. And it pleased him to bruise his son on behalf of his children, you see. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure.
calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, speaking in prophecy of one who's coming to deliver the Jews in the future, said, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, you see. He is the only God. As we continue there, in this prayer of praise, this message of praise in Nehemiah, there in verse 6, it says, thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. You see, he is the creator God. He is the God who created all things. He created everything that we see around us. He created every person that is around us. He created all things. Over in Isaiah chapter 40, and listen to this in verse 12. Think about what a great God he is, because he's creator God. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You know, I was thinking about, I saw some videos of this great flood that occurred in Texas a couple of days ago, and thinking about no man could control it. You know, it was out of the hands of men. There was no way they could stop it. They couldn't even really predict it. God holds all the waters of this earth in the hollow of his hand. If he were to take all the water, we're told that the earth is about 3/4 water, okay? If he took all that water, it would just fit in the hollow of his hand. It doesn't take both hands, just the hollow, the little hollow part of his hand. He's measured those waters in the hollow of his hand. He meted out heaven with the span. You know, one of the most fascinating things from my childhood that I still think of today is those Voyager spacecraft that have been sent out. They were launched in about 1976 or 77. And they carried some information on there. They carried a record made out of gold that had all kinds of stuff about humans and humanity. And the idea was they're sending it out there in two different directions. They went out, they were launched from this earth in two different directions into space. One of them passed by Saturn, one of them passed by Jupiter. They got all kinds of pictures. That was always fascinating to me. And just recently, it passed through what's called the heliosphere, which is the outermost point, according to scientists, of where our sun has influence. It has, you know, the point beyond which you're out of the pull of the sun's gravity, and you go out into what they call interstellar space. And it's, I forget how many billion miles it is, they are both away from us now. And I can't fathom 4, 5, or 6 billion miles. I can't even fathom 6 or 7 million miles. I drove what seemed like a million miles, me and Mason drove this past week. It turned out just to be about 1,300 miles, you know, and it seemed like a million. You know, beloved, I can't fathom that. Space is beyond my comprehension, but God meted out heaven with the span. That just simply means that it was his measurements. He knows exactly the extent of this universe. Supposedly, it'll be 44,000 years before any one of those Voyager spacecraft could even possibly get to another star system. And yet God meted all that out with a span.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.